dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. The CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ, leave your flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zips, sips. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Welcome. You have reached the binrav.com forums. If you would like to accuse Stank Dog of censorship, press 1 now. If you would like to moan about Strom Carlson editing your posts, press 2 now. If you would like to complain about others' work while doing nothing yourself, press 3 now. Otherwise, stay on the board and your post will be read in the order it was received.
Hello everybody and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio episode number 8 to the 6. Coming to you on March 8th, 2005. 86 episodes in the book. 14 away from 100 episodes. Hitting the triple digits soon. The opening... Well, we had our opening music, of course, but right after that we had another MP3 that was sent in to us by a listener who goes by Fizzone. And it was pretty much, what if the BinRev forums were a voicemail system? I thought it was pretty funny, so I opened the show with that. Thank you, Fizzone, for sending that in. That was pretty good stuff. And I am actually very pleased this week to announce a new co-host to the show. And honestly, I don't know why it took 86 episodes to have you as a co-host. It just kind of worked out that way, I guess. I'm sure we tried in the past, and I guess our schedules didn't work out right. But welcome to the show, episode 86, the one and only Icon from Freaks and Geeks.
Yo, what's up?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And let's jump into some housekeeping and mail first, because last week turned into an all-email extravaganza. So I don't want to do that again this week. No, don't get me wrong. Please don't send me hate mail, because I like the reading the mail on the show, but, you know, I want to go into some content, actually, too. So I gotta walk on rose petals for people, or they'll send me hate mail. I got to be careful what I say. Oh, you don't like us sending you email. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying. Okay, never mind. Anyway, before I get into the email, let me take care of a couple bits of housekeeping. First of all, I will be at Freaknik. No, I'm sorry, not Freaknik. Interzone. I will be at Interzone this weekend in Atlanta. March 11th through the 13th, I believe it is. Interzone 4. And I'm presenting Saturday night, so I know a couple people have emailed me, said they were going to be there, so I look forward to meeting some of them. I don't know what that's going to mean as far as the show next week. I don't foresee there being any problems or anything like that, but it will probably be done at the last minute when I get back, if I'm conscious and able and all that kind of good stuff. I don't know what kind of stuff's going to go on up there, but hey, you never know. So look for me at Interzone this weekend. Wait a minute, let me think now. This is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I actually fly up Friday after work. So actually only 3 days away. I gotta get my stuff packed. And what else did I want to announce? This is a really cool announcement to me. It really feels like a big event for some... I mean, it's kind of strange. I've been working with... Actually, I shouldn't say working with. I updated the website on behalf of, as a better... Nick84, Droops, and Natus actually teamed up and worked on this to create a new podcast for Radio Freak America. So RFA is starting back over from episode one, available on a podcast at oldschoolfreak.com, and we're also adding it to the DDP Hack Radio schedule. So every Wednesday night at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern, you will get a fresh new, okay, not fresh new, I guess classic episode, I guess is the best word, of RFA from, of course, Dual Parallel and Rax and just the whole crew of people from the old RFA days. So people still listen and still download to RFA, so I figured, you know what, let's reintroduce it to a whole new audience of podcasters, a whole new audience of listeners, and see what happens with it. Oh, let's see. I think that's it for me for housekeeping and announcements, unless you had anything. Is there any big updates on freaksandgeeks.com, or?
Well, I have been working on a number directory for some time now. Probably never going to release it due to pure laziness, but other than that, not much.
Well, I know you're joking about pure laziness. I mean, I know you're the working man.
Yeah, I relate to that.
The problem is that there's just not enough hours in the day. I know what you mean. It's tough.
Yeah, exactly. Not enough time in the day.
All right,
but
well,
yeah, I imagine sometime down the road I will release that, so be keeping an eye out for that one.
Very cool. And make sure you tell us about it. We'll mention it on the show so everybody knows. And I guess with that, let's lead into our email this week. Let's play our theme music here.
Mail@binred.com.
Okay, and our first email this week comes from Cool Handle. Cool Handle, okay. Cool Handle says, I am a total noob. I am loving your show and trying to learn what's going on. I am a computer science major at UGA, that's University of Georgia, of course. So you're obviously not a noob. If you're a computer science major, I mean, I'm sure you're learning some good stuff. So there are two things going against me already. Less than awesome department at a less than awesome school. I don't know about all that. Have you ever heard anything bad about University of Georgia's computer science department?
No, haven't heard anything.
I haven't either. I don't know if that's necessarily like they have a bad reputation. I don't think they're a bad school either. They're one of the bigger schools, but
yeah, exactly.
But I digress. Let's see. I loved the stuff with Ilanka. Anyway, I had a few questions. Up until now, the only access I had to anything hacker related was Kevin Rose. I kind of like him. It's obvious you don't. I was just curious as to why. Also, where does the term LEET, or 1337, if that's how it's spelled, come from? I realize it's hacksor for cool, but where did it come from? Also, I want a cool handle, but I have no idea what to use. Any suggestions for how to get original and cool handle? This is a temporary email address, so the fact that I use the word cool handle is no big deal. So he did that intentionally. I need to get to work on a lame project for a class, so see ya. P.S. I tried, but can't listen to your show at work or while I do homework. I start focusing on what you're saying, and it takes me about an hour to change a few lines of code. All right, well, cool handle. I guess we're going to go with cool handle for now. Because as far as making up names, I don't know about you, but I mean, I don't know that there's like a tip or anything that I could even suggest for coming up with a name. Is there like a hacker handle generator out there, like they're for the 80s band name generators or porn star name generators?
Yeah.
Is there one for hackers out there? I think there might actually be.
I think there was one that sometimes someone posted one on the board somewhere.
Really? I might have to dig that up for the show notes, but offhand I don't know. But I don't really know what to tell you on that one. Unfortunately, I guess it's an originality thing. You have to just come up with something that fits your personality, that matches, that has a ring to it, that's different, unique, and basically just something that fits you and you feel comfortable with. It's kind of a originality thing, so it's not really someone else giving you a handle. It's not really, I think it kind of defeats the point, I guess. Unless you have a nickname that people have given you, and that can always work. As far as the comment about, what did he say, less than awesome department and less than awesome school, I don't get that at all. I thought, I mean, I don't know that University of Georgia has a specifically, like, a standout college college of computer science or anything, but I don't know that they have a negative one either. So, please, by all means, don't education, a college education in any from anywhere. I mean, I started at a community college. You know, getting a college education, no matter where it is or what it is definitely a good thing. Do not, it doesn't matter. I mean, we can't all afford to go to Harvard's and Yale's, and frankly, they teach pretty much the same material. I mean, yes, some are a little better than others, but the content that they cover in the classes are all going to be the same. To be accredited, the content of the classes has to be fairly universal. Now, your teachers are going to be the difference. Your teachers fluctuate from college to college, from university to university. Some teachers will be better than others and will be able to get the points across better. But for the most part, a networking class at University of Georgia versus a networking class at, I don't know, UC Berkeley, I don't know, I'm making a name up, is not going to be that much different. You're both going to learn about the basic fundamentals of networking. So never worry about or make a comment about how it's less than awesome department or whatever. That's not the case at all. You'll be very surprised. You'll learn a lot at any college, anywhere. So don't worry about that. I also... You mentioned sometimes you can't listen to the show while he's working because it breaks his concentration, I guess. I get that sometimes, too. It's a weird layered thing. I don't know about you, but, like, some days if I'm writing code or I'm working on something that's repetitive, I can listen to a show while I'm doing that repetition. But if I get into a bit of code where I have to think or concentrate, then, yeah, I'll have to turn it off myself. But that's just me. Do you have any problems listening, or do you even listen to shows at work, or no?
Well, myself, I actually have a decent job to where I go out on field service calls and whatnot. So I actually just purchased a FM modulator deal for my cigarette lighter, so I can play MP3s off my jump drive.
Nice.
And I just play, you know, Binary Revolution Radio or, you know, old school freak episodes right from that.
Right. Cool. Very cool. Yeah, that's, I bought one of those devices myself recently. I don't even have, I'm kind of dumb this way. I bought that device, but I don't even have an MP3 player, so.
Mine just plugs, you can plug a jump drive right into it and use that.
Yeah, I bought one of the little broadcaster things that you're supposed to put on your iPod or your MP3 player. But I figured, A, it's also, all it is a little output headphone jack or whatever, so it'll work on a laptop too, I would assume. So I could be able to play from a laptop. Secondly, I bought it as a project. I took it out of the thing and took it apart right away to do some tinkering with it. And depending on how that goes, I will share the results with the listeners. Of course, if I fail miserably, then I won't bring it up ever again, but if it works out pretty good. And actually, I took that conversation to my 2600 meeting last week and had some guys there because I don't know a whole lot about RF, quite frankly. I'm not an electronics guy. I'm learning and teaching myself some stuff, but I went to some of those guys, and I'm actually going to be working with some of them on this project. So I'm sure it'll turn out somewhat of a success, so we'll see how that goes.
That's cool.
All right, let's see. Where's our next email? Our next email comes from, well, it came to us anonymously. And this person said, oh, wait a minute, I didn't answer. What else did I not answer? Oh, Kevin Rose, okay. I get this comment from people a lot that think that I have something against, like, I can't stand Kevin Rose or I hate Kevin Rose or something like that. I have only one issue with Kevin Rose. Only one. All I've said, and you can go back and listen to my past shows, one issue, and that is that he doesn't give credit when he finds information. he goes on and he gives these dark tips, or he gives these presentations on the screensavers about whatever topic happens to be, but he doesn't give credit to the people that he got it from, or where he found it, or where he read it. And I just don't understand why. I mean, there's only one excuse or one reason for that to me, and that's because they want to front like they came up with it or they found it. And I don't know any other reason to not give credit where credit is due. And that's not just from me. I mean, if you go looking around, you'll find a lot of other people have felt the same way and called him out on it. I know X-Logic has had a problem with him. I know. Well, you know what? I'm not going to drop names. There's people that have had issues with him. And on one hand, it's like, I don't care. As long as the information gets out, I'm happy. But at the same time, don't act like you came up with everything yourself. Is it really so hard, honestly? Is it really so hard to just say, hey, Acidus came up with this cool new way to read magnetic stripe cards, you know? Is that really so hard to drop somebody's name instead of going on TV and saying, oh, well, I always wondered what was on these cards, so I found out. No, you didn't. Acidus found out, and you just copied the work. So anyway, I just wish he would give credit where credit is due, and I don't think that's very much to ask. So if that pisses him off, or the listeners off who think I have a personal... I don't know him personally. I have no idea what he's like as a person, so I wouldn't judge him like that. But as far as having some credibility, I mean, he's taking credit for other people's work, and I don't know, I don't know, give credit where credit's due. That's the short version of the story. Oh, so, and of course, I speak only for myself. I don't want to put it words in Icon's mouth, so please, those are the views of Stank Dog and Stank Dog alone. Don't send him hate mail.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah. Okay, so what was I? Oh, I was getting ready to go. Anonymous had anonymous email from Anonymous, duh, who says, during the course of BinRev episode 84... speculation arose among the hosts, Lucky225 and Doug, as to how Paris Hilton and other celebrity T-Mobile sidekicks had been compromised. One such theory was that the T-Mobile hacker, known to me through the handle Ethics, quote, Ethics is the handle, I guess, had something to do with this compromise. This, in fact, was true. The day he took his leave from the scene, he left several gifts to those that were close to him, including source to some of his better-known works, along with information he had obtained through the course of his years in the underbelly of the Internet. One of these gifts happened to be Paris Hilton's AOL email, T-Mobile, and AIM login. That specific gift was given through an IRC channel that will be left unnamed. A lurker in this channel decided to attempt to sell the information that was given freely and began an auction of this information, but was interrupted by someone that didn't want to see someone profit from someone else's work. Thus, Paris's details were pasted for thousands to see residing in FNet, and thus spread throughout the Internet. Ethics was an odd character. He was not in it for the fame. He was simply interested in security, and found a hobby that some might find morally objectionable, which, of course, we can all relate to. At the time of his arrest, he had finally found a legitimate job that he had been striving for. He had quit his previous activities in order to continue on with his life. Ethics may have been 21, but his persona and knowledge online was ageless. Anyway, the following was the buddy list pulled from the AIM account provided by Ethics to give some sort of credibility to my mail. Most undoubtedly, these screen names have been harassed to death, but nonetheless, I share them with you. All right, Icon, help me out on this one. I think it's hilarious that Paris Hilton keeps getting owned. I think it's hilarious that she's such a target for hackers for some reason, or for freakers, or whatever. But isn't this information... I don't know exactly what information was put out to the public. I think I saw some pictures were out there, and like her day planner schedule or something, and her phone numbers of some other celebrities.
Yeah.
Is that right? Now, were there... because this guy sends me AOL screen names. Were those also publicly available?
From what I've been told, I haven't heard anything of a buddy list. But I do know that the Sidekick phones, as most of T-Mobile phones and Singular phones, they communicate with AIM and Yahoo Messenger and whatnot. So it would be possible for a buddy list or something like that to be on, you know, her phone.
Yeah, I think it does ship with AOL Instant Messenger pre-installed, doesn't it?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I believe T-Mobile's been, you know, shipping their phones with AIM installed for over a year now.
Okay.
I know of.
So I wonder then, see, I'm just not sure about this credibility of sending me these names, because if they're out there in the public, obviously what good is it sending them to me as credibility when they're publicly available?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So if these are not publicly available, then I can see that a little bit, but his story then claims that they were given out through IRC anyway, so they're somewhat public. I mean, he's not the only one that has these, and now me. I didn't check them, of course. I didn't verify them. I don't know if they're valid or not. And like he says, they've probably been harassed to death, so obviously they're somewhat public now. So I'm not sure what to make of this, honestly. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Do you? All I can do is all I can say is email us if you can confirm or deny this or debunk this or have any information either way.
Yeah.
Again, I don't care too much because I just think it's funny anyway. I think it's funny either way. I'm sure T-Mobile doesn't think it's real funny, but that makes it even funnier. So yeah, if anybody can confirm or deny that, I don't know whether. That email could have been completely somebody wanting to get their name read on the air. I don't know. I really don't know. It could be 100% true for all I know. So email us, radio@benrev.com, if you have anything to add to that. Okay, next email is from Dark Logic. Dark Logic says, to the fellow who sent in complaining about Fedora's lack of support for MP3. That was on last week's show, episode 85. The reason MP3 support was left out of Fedora was because Fedora aims to be an OS comprised of completely free open source software, which MP3 is not. Installing MP3 support for XMMS Rhythmbox is very simple. Here is how, and he was nice enough to give a tiny URL, tinyurl.com/6l5f4. He also says Fedora FAQ. FedoraFAQ.org is going to be your best friend, and try to stick with Fedora for a while despite its annoyances. It is probably the friendliest and most usable OS I have encountered so far. Good luck. So thank you, Dark Logic. And I don't know if you've used Fedora before, but I have to admit, that's one of the few distros that I have never tried. I had Red Hat 9, which was the last one before they switched to Fedora, or Enterprise Edition, or whatever they call it, the pay version. And I never really had any reason. I was happy with Red Hat 9, and I still use Red Hat 9 on some of my boxes. So, I have not tried Fedora. I took a nice long drink of iced tea there.
Yeah, I have yet to use my Fedora myself, so.
But, and I think I said this on the response last week, I'm not a big distro whore. You know what? If it, just give it a shot. I mean, it's Linux, first and foremost. They're all going to come with KDE, they're all going to come with GNOME, they're all going to come with several Windows managers, you can choose which one. To me, that's really the bigger thing. You're going to get more comfortable with one window manager over another. It's not until you really get into some of the detailed intricacies of the file systems and the file locations and the default locations of stuff and the install methods and things like that that you're really going to start liking or disliking the individual distros. So if you are just getting started on Linux in general, I think you're going to be happy with just about any distro that's out there. I really believe that. But hey, that's just my opinion. Let's see. Next email is from Booter. B Uder says, "Hey, Stank, I listened to episode number 78 several times, and I've been hooked on cryptography ever since." So, well, that's awesome. I went out and bought the book by Simon Singh, The Code Book. Anyways, I heard on episode 78 that Alonka has a group set up in Yahoo for cryptographers. Do you have the name of the group, or could you point me in the right direction? P.S. Alonka, my girlfriend, hates you. Ever since I heard the show you co-hosted with Stank Dog, I've been fixed on cryptography. Okay, well, I'm sure Alonka doesn't want to break up a happy home or anything. But I don't know. I don't even remember her mentioning the crypto group on Yahoo, honestly. So I did a quick search, and there's several of them. There's several crypto groups on Yahoo. I'm not sure which one is, quote, hers or that she's involved with or anything like that. Your best bet, obviously, would be to contact Alonka. So go over to Alonka.com. That's Elonka.com. And maybe she links to it or has some more information, or at least you can get her email address and ask her directly, because she can probably point you better than I can. And where else? Boy, we still got an email to catch up on, but we're going to do all right tonight, I think. We're going to get it done. Next email comes from someone who sent their real name, and of course I'm going to withhold that just because I don't know. Who says, very simply, "I've been listening ever since Ilanka was on." We picked up a lot of listeners with Ilanka. We really picked up a lot of people with the Ilanka show. A lot of people were really interested in cryptography. "I've been listening ever since Ilanka was on. You should get more people like her on. Anyways, I just wanted to say I like the change up with the jazz music at the end of the show." All right, well, thank you. Okay, first of all, there's only one Ilanka. You know, there's only one. So people like her. I don't know. I mean, nobody's like anybody else in my book. Everybody's unique and different, and everybody brings something different to the table. Everybody brings different point of view, different experience, different opinions, different whatever. So I like having a rotation and mixing up the co-hosts, even when it's not me. With Doug and Lucky, I thought, you know, they did a great job. So, mixing it up, I think, is better, and we will definitely have Ilanka back on. I will probably bump into her this weekend, I hope, if she makes it to Interzone, and we've got some plans for some other conferences in the future that we're going to be presenting at together. So she will definitely be back on sometime soon. And if you liked her episode 78, you probably liked 79 as well with Decius, who's also a brilliant cryptographer, knows a lot of stuff about cryptography, and, I mean, just was blowing me away with his knowledge. So there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of different knowledge, and, you know, bringing them all together on the show and mixing it up, that's, I mean, like I've said it before, I learn on the show all the time. I'm learning stuff from my co-hosts all the time on the show. As far as the jazz music, it's kind of a funny thing. When you try to find, you know, we always end the show with independent music. And it's somewhat because, obviously, I don't want to get sued in any of that crap. But frankly, there's a lot of good music out there. There really is. And because of the RIA being the bastard that it is, this evil corporation, this evil entity that it is, they can't get a chance. They don't get a shot at getting airtime and getting on the radio and getting record deals and stuff like that. But there's some good music out there. So I like to use the show as a platform to get some of this music out there and share it with people. Now, the sheer fact of the matter is that the majority of that music is generally pop music, hip-hop, rap, things like that. That is pretty much the most popular music that you hear, in the biggest genres of music, I should say, that you hear out there. So that's what I find most often. So it's kind of hard to find independent jazz musicians or country musicians or anything, really, other than those big pop-style things. Especially since MP3.com went down, or restructured, or whatever they want to call it. That was always a good site that was organized by genre and stuff like that. And there still hasn't been a site, in my opinion. There are several out there. I know people will probably send me some. But I haven't found one that's even remotely close to the way it was set up as far as organizing via genre and ratings and showed you the newest songs that were available and the highest rated songs and the artists and who's similar. And there's other sites out there. I mean, do you have a particular site icon? Do you have a favorite site for music online, or?
You know, I just basically just use Google to find what I'm looking for when I'm in that mood for whatever I'm in the mood for.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, sometimes I'll end up Googling and it takes so long. I mean, you'll find it eventually, but you'll end up taking so long and going through so many different jumps that I just wish there was a better site, like centralized site, like MP3.com used to be. You know, I know there's IUMA, Internet Underground Music Archive or something like that. I don't know. There's a few other sites that I found, but somebody needs to make a new site. They'd probably be very successful if they were to make a new site like that with independent artists and giving them a place in one centralized, well-organized site to find that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, let's be blunt, most people download it. Most people download the MP3s they want from whatever artist they want. The RIAA's actions haven't stopped anybody from getting the music that they want. I mean, let's be honest. And you can get whatever CDs you want and rip them and have them yourself anyway. And I think at this stage of the game, in 2005, most people already have all the MP3s they want stored on their hard drive. I mean, libraries upon libraries of MP3 files with just about anything they want. So, I don't know. Point being, it's kind of tough to find certain types of music. But, since you like the jazz, I'm going to give you another one tonight. I'm going to give you another song from the same people. We'll close out later with that. And our last email this week is from, and I'm going to say this very carefully, PBX43K. PBX43K says, "Hey Stank, glad you enjoyed my email about human ML, or human markup language, of course, from last week, which is a topic from like season one. It's so funny the way these topics get brought back up. Just wanted to clarify 2 points. One, yes, I am a he, gender equals male. Because, of course, I said by name alone, you don't know what anybody's male or female. Number two, it's PBX43K, not PBX34K. Go figure, I get props for a good email, but you get my name wrong. Oh well. Hack on, oh master of stankness." Alright, I went back, because I didn't know what he was talking about. I went back and looked in my notes from last week, and the reason that I don't even remember saying it, but apparently I did say 34K, because when I looked in my show notes, sure enough, right there in my show notes, I typed it 34K. So I plead temporary dyslexia. I got my numbers jumbled. I got it backwards. And then I read it from my show notes exactly the way I saw it. So sorry about that. But hey, what are you going to do? I guess I suck. What can I tell you? I type so fast. And I'm sure there's already this show notes for this one are probably riddled with typos as well. I just type so fast that I get lost, and I don't go back to correct things all the time, and I don't spell check. It's just show notes. You know, it's stuff that I've cut and pasted. It's email that I've cut and pasted. It's kind of organized, at least by section, but, you know, I don't go back to spell check and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure Icon, have you seen, like, a bazillion typos so far?
Yeah, I've seen a few.
Yeah, see, it's not that big a deal. As long as the flow keeps going, as long as we cover the topics, the content is what matters. If I were
exactly
typing up now, and you can, you know, and let's kind of branch off on a tangent here, and you can, because you can back me up on this. This is a radio show, so as long as I speak correctly, somewhat correctly, and get the point across, that's the bottom line. However, you can back me up on this. When you write articles, which you and I both have written quite a bit in our time, writing is something that you do take a little bit more pride in, and you do have to spell check, and you do have to be careful on your grammar and organization on anything that you're going to present in print.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it's just a list or a scan of numbers, you got to make it readable. If you just start throwing a bunch of junk on the page in no particular order, nobody's going to keep up with it. They're just going to, you know, throw it to the side. They're going to think to themselves, I can do better than that. That's crap. I don't even want to look at that. Got to have it organized. You got to have it intelligent. because it is a reflection on you. Your writing is definitely a reflection on you. So keep that in mind if you submit articles to Binary Revolution Magazine. Pimp, pimp. Or go ahead, pimp it out. Go ahead.
Or freaksandgeeks.com.
There you go. There you go. You got a little. You got a zine there that you're. What's the status on that? Am I putting you on the spot by asking?
No, actually, we just started working on a few different things. A new zine issue. We started working on a few exclusives for that. You know, got a few scans for it. Nothing real special. Hopefully, we'll have that one out by the end of the month.
Very cool.
We'll go from there.
And as long as we're here, we're in the show and tell part of the show anyways, and why don't you go ahead and talk about, well, whatever, anything you've been working on, since you're always working on something. So, you know, go ahead, feel free to talk about as much as you want to talk about you've been working on lately. What's new with you?
Well, obviously, I'm trying to get back into the whole scene and whatnot. Doing a few projects, some scanning and whatnot. I'm still working on redoing that EAS file. Well, I got a revision on that, another EAS system we found.
I'm sorry, and the EAS again is, of course?
The Expanded Announcement System.
Right.
Which, is pretty, I don't even know what word to use for it.
It's something. Interesting, yeah.
It's, we started figuring out some of the more advanced options for it, so I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay. And you didn't really, you're saying getting back in the scene, but you haven't really gone anywhere. You just have been had to cut back because of real life and working and stuff, but you haven't disappeared. You've been around. It's not like you've unplugged for a year and come back. I mean, I know you've been around. We've communicated. I know you're around. It's just, you got to do as much as you can do. I understand what you mean, but I don't want anybody to think that you've somehow disappeared and are just coming back. You've been around for a while.
Yeah. There again, I'd like to be around a lot more than I am, so, you know,
you're
looking for me around. And it doesn't help having computer problems, too.
Oh, yeah, that always compounds the issue. Well, we'd all like to be around more, but...
Yeah.
But I'm sure everything will fall into place as it's supposed to.
Yep.
Yeah, as soon as your job slows down, too, I know you and I were talking about some other, I guess, projects, for lack of a better word, that we were going to follow up on. So some good information you might be coming up with.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll wait until we're ready for that.
Yeah, get everyone's palms nice and sweaty for that one. They'll definitely drool over this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
And what else? Is that it?
Yeah.
Obviously,
I'll keep everybody thinking.
Of course, and to pimp the site again, everybody, of course, can go to freaksandgeeks.com, and you'll always put the information up there and any new text files and projects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So
they're in the forums, so.
And you've also, that's another reason I know you haven't been gone too long, is because we switched servers, and you made the server switch and everything, and got the website back up and running, and I don't know whatever came of the mailing, the email addresses, the mailing list and stuff. Was that all crushed, or were you able to, did that get transferred over when I moved everything?
As far as the actual, the HTML documents, they transferred over.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the mailing list itself, the server does not see it.
It doesn't, darn.
Yeah, so really, we didn't miss out on much. I had all the messages backed up that were, you know, sent to the mailing list, so.
Good deal.
We didn't lose too much, but, you know.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that was the... Some of the email stuff came over fine, others didn't. I couldn't find a consistent pattern, but I guess it's all water under the bridge now. We're over there, we can recreate them, I guess, and go on from there. Always keep backups. That's the story here. And I still have, in case there is an emergency... I still have the final backup of the old server. So if there's ever anything we really absolutely have to dig out, we can. So just keep that in mind. Oh, as far as my show and tell, I didn't get into show and tell last week, so I've got a few things I wanted to bring up. First of all, something that I have to admit, I know it's kind of corny, but I have to admit I'm kind of proud of. One of the reasons, actually the main reason that I took time off was because I was studying for a certification exam. And doing the show each week is just, I wasn't finding enough time to study for it, plus do the projects and everything else that I'm working on. So I tried to just take away from the show for a couple weeks, take off from the show for a couple weeks, and get a little study time out of that. Now, of course, drama came out in the forums, which pulled me back into that, so I really didn't get as much time as I had hoped. But I did get enough time, apparently, because now I am no longer just Stank Dog, the pain in the ass. I am now Stank Dog, certified ethical hacker. I did pass the CEH exam, and I am officially certified. Now, people have been saying I'm certifiable for a long time, but that's a whole different story. I am actually certified ethical hacker now, for whatever that's worth. And even though I have that certification, I still stand by my original statement that this EC Council group, or whatever certification agency they are, has no right to create something called a certified ethical hacker. Who are they to certify anything? Who are they to tell me what hacker ethics are? Because now that I've taken the test, I can tell you from experience. And maybe later on I will give some... I won't have time in this show to do it. Maybe on a later show I will give you some of the questions or some sample questions of what the stuff was like. They certainly weren't hacker ethics. They were the ethics that they want to force hackers into. So I still stand by the fact that certified ethical hacker means jack squat. But I'm certainly going to play that card if I'm ever in a court, or if I'm ever in a situation where it can help me out and I can go, hey, back off, certified ethical biatch. I'm going to have it right there. Also, along with Icon, I had some real-life things going on. I had some job things, I guess, for lack of a better word, doing some exploring, had some possibilities going on the job front that I was looking into. And everything seems to be going well, as far as I know. Took off for a little redneck vacation to the Daytona 500. That's been quite a while. That's been like almost a month ago now. And
yeah, Tony got screwed.
Yeah, dude, don't even get me started. That was just like, ugh. He did. Anyway.
Next topic.
Yep. And actually, I do this every once in a while because people don't believe this, but I give this little lecture on time utilization where I tell people they really need to take advantage of the free time that they have. And this is something that I guess comes with age a little bit, and not necessarily only with age, but from working for a living. When you're working and still trying to put time in the community and in the hacking scene, for lack of a better word, you realize just how precious your time is. And I don't mean that to say, you know, I'm getting old and I'm blah blah and I'm precious how life is and the beauty of a flower and bullshit like that. What I'm saying is, when you have time, you need to take advantage of it. So a trip to Daytona for me was like 4 hours. And actually, we went a little bit past Daytona and stayed with some friends up there. Went up with a couple friends and stayed with his family. So we actually, it was like a 5-hour trip up there and back. So, 5-hour trip in the car, I busted out the laptop. And by the time I got back, I had written a complete article. The only thing I had to do when I got back was I spell-checked it a little bit, did some proofreading, and made a few minor little changes. But I got an article busted out on a car trip. And that's what I mean by time utilization. I mean, multitasking. I mean, I know a lot of our listeners are in school. While you're in class, sit there and type something up. I mean, I know you're in study hall and you're probably bored out of your mind if you don't have homework to do. Don't play solitaire. And don't sit back there and I don't know, do something. If you've got time like that, I wrote this in Notepad for crying out loud on my laptop going up there. So just pop open Notepad and write something or do some research or you know, use your time wisely. And what else? Oh, this is old news also by now, but I was in a documentary on Animal Planet, because apparently I'm an animal, I guess. That's a joke I've been hearing. And this was recorded back in September of 04, somewhere around that anyway, I'm not sure the exact time. And I got a final copy, a proof copy, back in December, early December. They sent me the proof videotape, which is basically the edited footage with all the sound and stuff done and all the credits in place and everything with no commercials, just the nonstop show. So, which was cool because it really freaked me out. Anytime I get a package in the mail and I'm not expecting it, it freaks me out. So I got a package from New Zealand, for crying out loud, which is where the camera crew was from. Kind of freaked me out to see that package in there, but that's what it was. So that's pretty much the timetable on how long it takes to get for a show to be, you know, done on camera. Obviously, your local news and stuff like that's different, but to put together a nice professional one-hour show on a cable channel, that's apparently the timeline they use from September, and it aired, I guess, actually, it's funny. This is actually kind of a funny story. While I was at the Daytona 500, actually the day before, I'm up in Daytona with some friends driving around, and I get a phone call from my mother to tells me that I'm on Animal Planet, that I'm on TV. So that was kind of funny. So if you haven't seen it, check out Animal Planet. The show is called World's Most Extreme or something like that, which I don't get cable, so I couldn't really tell you a whole lot about it. But it's a top 10. They do a top 10 animals, a list of different animals. And each one of those animal, like animal type, for example, the top 10 fastest cats or the top 10 largest mammals, I don't know, whatever the top 10 list. And then they take each one of those mammals and they compare them to a different type or personality of human being. So like if they're doing the top 10 fastest cats, they might compare a cat, you know, the cheetah to a, I don't know, world record sprinter. Or they might compare, I don't know, a lion to some other football player with strong and fat. You know what I'm saying? Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Did you see it or anything by chance?
Yeah.
I want to try to put up an AVI of it because I know a lot of people don't get Animal Planet. But our particular one was sharks. And they went down the top 10 most dangerous sharks, and we were actually the number one shark, and that was the hammerhead shark, which apparently, and I think I already typed this up in the forum, and it's probably boring the listeners, so I'll speed it up, but apparently the hammerhead shark has some kind of electroreceptor things in its hammerhead, and when it swims around at the bottom of the ocean, it detects electromagnetic waves from the fish, and it uses them to hunt. So even if the fish, like, tries to hide in the dirt or hide under something, it can sense where it's at. So it kind of zones in and gets stronger and stronger until it finds where it's at and snatches it out of the water. So the comparison was that shark to hackers insofar as war driving. And that was really the main thrust of the thing. All it really was a war driving segment of us driving around and finding the wireless signals in the air and how we can close in and signal strength and things like that. So that was the comparison they made. It's a bit of a stretch, I guess, but I don't know. What are you going to do? It was fun. They asked me. I figured, why not? And the funniest thing of all, the funniest part of the whole thing was that I gave them permission to use my real name. I've always been real open about that. I don't hide it a whole lot. But I did tell them that I would prefer that they didn't use it. They can if you really want to, but I'd prefer to go by Stank Dog. They did. They used Stank Dog, and it was hilarious to hear this announcer guy announce Stank Dog in his big announcer voice and everything with everybody else. It was kind of funny. And then even better was when the credits rolled at the end, it said special thanks to Stank Dog. It didn't say my real name. It said to Stank Dog again. So that was, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, now, it's definitely gives you some bragging rights.
Well, I don't know what bragging rights would be on Animal Planet. It's kind of lame, actually.
Hey.
I guess it does make me a... You know what? I might be on par with Lucky 225 for biggest media whore now.
Yeah.
Between radio... Yeah, radio, TV, print, I think... I might be giving him a run, but see... I don't know. He likes... he doesn't like it, but... He'll forever be called the meteor whore, unfortunately. I think he's pegged with that for life.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, well, we've got a little bit of time here, and I have a couple of little topics on one big... Well, let's see, that doesn't make any sense at all. I have a few little things to mention about one big topic, and that's Google. And I found a few more interesting things about Google that people might not be aware of. And maybe you can tell me if you might have already heard of these, but they were new to me. The first one is a very simple one, that you can search for movie showtimes on Google. If you put in movie, M-O-V-I-E, colon, and then the name of the movie, it will search for movie showtimes in your area. I thought that was kind of cool and kind of handy.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it prompted me for the zip code after I did the search to make sure it honed in where I was, but I think that's kind of useful. And let's see, what else? Remind people of Google Answers. I still like Google Answers, and I talked about this, gosh, I don't even know if it was in, it might have been back in Season 1 or early in Season 2, with, I think Rax and I did a long two or three shows on Google. Well, we talked about all things Google at the time. And Google Answers was one of them. And I went into some more detail then of what it was and some stories. But I went back and checked it again. I check it once in a while. And it's answers.google.com, in case I didn't say that. And it's kind of interesting because what it is researchers. Google has approved certain people. I don't know what their criteria is or how they authorize whoever, but they've authorized certain people to be researchers and experts in a particular area. And anybody can go there, and I guess you have to create an account of some kind. I didn't get that far. I didn't create an account. But you can go out there, and you can post a question that you want an answer to, some type of research, some kind of information that you want that you don't have the time to find or you couldn't find on your own. And you can also put out a price on how much you're willing to pay for that information. And it's kind of like a bidding system, I guess, where you bid how much it's worth for you to get that information. And if one of the researchers feels like it's worth their time to go do it, then they will. Well, this has still been going on all this time. There are people paying money for research and for answers to research questions, and it's all publicly available. You can go to answers.google.com and find thousands of dollars of information, if we want to put it in those kind of terms. Information that people have paid thousands of dollars for, anyway, I guess is a better way to describe it. And one of them, Icon, I think you might find this interesting. I usually go out and do searches for hacking or hackers and see what kind of stuff people are asking. And you'll get a good idea of what the industry is looking for and worried about. I'll see a lot of questions from people saying, I found the following on my network, or I found this in my log file, or this strange thing happened. How could a hacker have done this? And they're expecting people to break it down and tell them what happened or something like that. Also, I find some freaking stuff out there. And here's a quote from one of them, and maybe you'll feel me on this one. One of the quotes says, and this was an answer to someone's question. Some guy... gosh, you know what? I should have copied and pasted the whole question, but I'll try to remember it as best I can. Some guy was hearing different noises on his phone and thought it was tapped remotely, and asked if a phone freaker, if his phone could have been freaked or something like that. He had done enough research to realize or to have read the term phone freaking and know that it was phone hacking. and then came to Google to find out detailed information. And the response was, quote, "Freaking provides techniques for obtaining free phone calls," end quote. The response on this particular one was that what he was describing was not freaking at all. Freaking obviously is simply techniques for obtaining free phone calls, and that's it. Right?
Gotta love Google.
This person is pro. Let's see, what's his username? ProBonoPublico-GA. That was their response to someone asking about whether their office was a victim of a freaking attack. So, Icon, is freaking just techniques for obtaining free phone calls? Is that it?
No.
Is that valid?
No. I think I even might have covered this in the letters section of BinRev 1.
Okay.
When someone was asking about redboxing. And how I discussed how freaking is not for getting free phone calls, and how he should look into exactly, you know, other types or exploration of other types of the telecommunication systems.
Right, and it still amazes me that this person obviously is authorized by Google to answer such a question, but this is what they think. This is what a professional, supposedly alleged professional, thinks that freaking is. I mean, that's scary.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and the same people that we're giving the certified ethical hacking certification things to, or feel they're being taught this, spoon-fed this crap that's incorrect.
I just can't believe somebody paid $2.50 for an answer like that.
Yeah, and some of the answers, I don't remember how much this particular one was, and actually there's a little bit of justice in this one, because the guy who posted the original question, he was a real dick, and he snapped back at this person over and over again, saying that he was unhappy with the answer, that they weren't giving him any information that he didn't already know. So if there's any consolation, he treated this person like crap, and I don't know if he ever paid him or not. But some of the answers go as high, I think, $50. I've seen several $50 questions on there. I don't know how high they go.
Yeah.
I guess as high as you want to bid, but I mean...
Yeah, I'm actually on their site now.
Yeah.
It's like about $5. Then I see one that's up to $100.
$100, yeah. See, that's $100 for some research. Now, depending on how in-depth that research has to be, you know, it takes time to write and type that stuff up. Again, you know that. I mean, writing takes time, so I don't know if it's worth $100 to answer a question, and then the person has to be happy with the answer. They can challenge it and refuse to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, so that's Google answers.google.com. Make sure you go check that out. There's a lot of cool information, not only on hacking and freaking, on anything, but, you know, of interest to this show and the listeners of this show. Go out there and you'll find a lot of stuff. Oh, what else here? Actually, I just found a strange little anomaly just before we started recording the show. I went to Google, and I was looking for something, and I did a search for it. And just out of pure curiosity, because I've been having some problems with Google lately that I'm going to go into in a couple more minutes. Let me see how we're doing on time here. I think we're good. Yeah. Been having some other problems with Google that I'm going to talk about next. So I've been looking for alternatives. I'm kind of at the end of my rope with Google. I mean, they're still cool and all, but you know what? They're getting a little too big for their britches, as we say in the South. So I thought I'd go check out Yahoo. Now, I know both Yahoo and Microsoft, as much as we hate to admit it, have both made huge changes to their search engines. Hugely improved, and they're both trying to copy Google. They're trying to take a similar stance. So I figured I'd give Yahoo a shot. It's been a while since I tried the actual Yahoo search. I love the My Yahoo page, but the Yahoo search I haven't used in quite a while. And as I searched through Yahoo for the same thing, I started scrolling through, and I saw, of course, a lot of the same results in there. But then I saw a couple things different that I thought, and they clearly had the keyword in there. And I thought to myself, why didn't this show up over on Google? That's very strange, because it wasn't new. It wasn't like it was recently updated. Maybe Google Spider hadn't gotten to it yet or anything like that. It actually, the page wasn't updated since like 1998 or something like that. I don't remember offhand. But I thought to myself, why in the world isn't this picked up by Google? But it is picked up by Yahoo, you know. So the only thing I could think of is in their robots.txt, maybe they're blocking Google from searching their site. They don't let the Google spider on, but they do let the Yahoo spider on. And as I put two and two together, I realized that's probably exactly what they're doing, because the site in question is a site that I know you've used before, GeoCities. Now, GeoCities doesn't usually have the best of material and stuff like that on it, but this particular site just caught my eye and made me start looking a little bit closer, and sure enough, Google does not spider GeoCities. If you do a Google search for the word GeoCities, you'll find a link to the main page. You know, you'll get two or three hits. But try to find one of the sub-pages within GeoCities. Like, this particular person had a username, and I didn't save it, so I don't remember what it is offhand. But find a page inside of GeoCities somewhere, and then go try to Google and come up with it. I tried to put the precise terms together. I cut and pasted words off the page, and then put them over into Google, to figuring that it's going to find it. It doesn't have them in its database, I do not believe. If somebody finds otherwise, let me know. But I tried to recreate it. I tried to make Google find it, and it did not. GeoCities, of course, is owned by Yahoo. That is not, I was going to say scary. It's not scary. It's interesting, to say the least. Suddenly, I realized that there might be a dangerous rift happening in these search engines now. If Yahoo is not going to allow Google and other sites to spider its pages, and you're only going to be able to get those results from GeoCities over on Yahoo, that's really going to limit a lot of your searching. You're not going to be able to find everything on Google anymore. And the same thing with Microsoft. If they start doing something similar with their, what is it called? MySpace? No, not MySpace. It's called just Spaces or something like that?
Yeah,
MSNs, whatever MSNs, sure. And they've got a community section and stuff like that. If they start only including those on their own search engine, on the MSN search, they're going to have a lot of rift of data here. You're not going to have a universal search engine, and that is not something that's good for the future of the Internet. That's really, really something scary to think about right there. You're not going to be able to go, no matter what your search engine of choice is, you might have to get to the point where you're going to have to look through all of them to find what you're looking for. If you don't find it on Google, you go over to Yahoo. If you don't find it on Yahoo, you go to MSN search. If you don't find it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's something that's not going to be very healthy, because people are not going to be able to find everything in one central location. And from a business standpoint, not a very ethical business standpoint, but from a business standpoint, that's exactly what Yahoo and MSN want. They want reason to make you come to their site. They don't want you to go over there and keep going to Google. So it is probably a business strategy on their part. Did you try that, by the way, while I was talking? Did you give it a shot for the GeoCities?
Yeah. Actually, what I did try was the site, semicolon, and then GeoCities and the GeoCities website, and it doesn't even bring anything up that way.
Very, very, very interesting. I just noticed that before we went on air, because I was searching for something for the show. So that's really scary, and I don't think the Internet community, I've never heard or read that anywhere. That might be a BinRev exclusive. I'm the first person to really notice that and realize the potential, what a potentially bad thing that was. So that could be scary, and you might be hearing about that in the future. I definitely is something that's not good for the overall health of the Internet, like I said. And I still have time here to talk about my other Google topic, and this is probably my main topic of the night, and that is Google's AdWords program. And Google AdWords, of course, is an advertising system that they provide for, I guess, any website or any business. But basically, when you go to Google, all those results on the right-hand side of the screen, those are being fed via Google AdWords. So Google AdWords works like this, basically. You sign up, and anybody can sign up and create an account. You have to drop 20 bones on it up front. They charge you $5 for a setup fee off the top. The rest of it gets credited to your ads. And when you run out of credit, then it automatically deducts a set amount from your credit card or your checking account or whatever you had set up. I don't remember if it, I used a credit card. I don't know if it took checks or whatever, PayPal or any of that. But basically, when you run out of credit, it'll take some more by based on whatever amount you authorize or you set it up to do. And you control how much you pay for every click. So, for example, one of the highest priced ads that you can find out there, from what I understand, is lawyers. Keywords like slip and fall or accident or things like that, lawyers will pay easily over a dollar a click for some of those words because they're looking for people that are going to sue and make them $1 million. So for them to pay a buck or two for somebody who clicks through to their site, their return on investment makes it more than worthwhile. Well, for me, I'm just trying to advertise Binary Revolution Magazine, Binary Revolution Radio, etc., etc. So for me, all of my keywords were 5 cents a click, the bare minimum. You have to pay at least 5 cents for every click through. So I went out there and I just wanted to A, experiment with it, see how it worked, learned how it worked, B, see if I could find any loopholes and any tricks that I could do with it, and C, maybe actually generate some new people coming to the site, which is always a good thing, whether they're newbies or not. I always welcome people to the site, to the show, etc. So I went out there and created an account, go through the sign-up process. Like I said, you give them your information, you give them an email address, yada, 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 and you create what they call a campaign. And you can create as many campaigns as you want, all on the same account. So if you had multiple websites, for example, that you wanted to promote, you would create a campaign for each one of them. Now, what a campaign is it's just a logical structure of which site you're going to be advertising for example. Now, within each campaign, you can then set up campaign groups. So it's just a hierarchical tree. So within the BinRev campaign, I created an ad for Binary Revolution Magazine, and I created an ad for Binary Revolution Radio. And under magazine, or under any one of them, but I'll use magazine as an example, you select keywords that you want people to trigger on to make that advertisement appear. So, for example, I chose a keyword, Hacking Magazine, and Hacker Magazine. And if somebody goes to Google and puts those words in and does a search, A, they're going to get their normal search results in there, but B, over on the side, it's going to possibly, and in my case more than likely, put those results up there. Now, if you're doing it right now while you're listening, I can already tell you it's not going to work because the story goes on. Let me warn you up front.
Would the AdWords also be for Gmail and
That's a good question. I do not know the answer to that.
I do notice, and one of, you know, when you get a Gmail, an email through Gmail, it will have sponsored links on the right side of the screen.
I don't know if those are the same ones from the AdSense campaign, or I'm sorry, the AdWords campaign. I think there's something else called the AdSense, S-E-N-S-E, and those might be coming from that.
Because I have noticed, for instance, with this one I have right here, it's in regarding of VoIP. And the sponsored links are all have to do with VoIP. Kind of
Well, yeah, it's definitely gonna cater, no matter whether it's the AdWords program or the AdSense. It's definitely targeted marketing. They're all going to relate to whatever the content of the email, et cetera, et cetera. For the AdWords, I think it only triggers on searches, and that's why I'm just talking out of my ass here. I guess that's why they call it AdWords, because whatever search words you use. So I don't know if that's necessarily the same thing, because, you know, also if you go to certain people's websites that have advertising, which I do not and never have and hopefully never will have to, but you'll see those sites where they have Google Ads embedded into them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that also comes from the same thing or not. I would suspect those come from the AdSense program, where it's still targeted, but they probably charge differently, and it's probably more expensive because it's much more targeted, et cetera, et cetera. This one is more of a classic impressions type thing, where you only get an impression is just if it comes up on the screen. So if you did a search for hacking magazine, binrev.com, the ad would come up on the right-hand side. That's an impression. If you actually click on it, that's what they call, well, obviously a click-through. So they count the click-throughs different from the impression. So every time somebody sees it, they call that an impression. So for every impression, there's no charge for that. So you're already getting a lot of screen time, if you will. People will see the name, and it doesn't cost you anything. If they click through it, you pay whatever amount you agreed to pay, whatever you bid for. And again, in my case, it's 5 cents. And you can also set a maximum budget for the day. And you can set a maximum for the month so that you can't get, nothing happens, it's going to hurt you or anything like that. So I put my ads out there and I let it go. Again, I was studying, being curious. I wanted to see how it goes. Basically, within 2 days, I noticed that some of my keywords that I chose, see, my keywords are so precise that the only people that would ever see them are people looking for them. And a lot of people might already know about our site and know about the magazine. So I get a lot of impressions with not so many click-throughs. Well, you have to have what they call a click-through ratio of 0.5, I believe it is. So for every 200 clicks, you have to have 200 impressions, you have to actually have one person click through. Or they will put your keyword, quote, on trial, they call it. And they'll leave it like that for like 24 hours, 48 hours, and then they'll cancel it altogether. And they will, what they call, slow your account, which means your ads will not be fed as fast as they used to. Only every other search will get it or something like that. I don't know how much they slow it. And they'll charge you $5 to reactivate it if you do that too many times. That sucks. I don't like that at all. So you can't, experiment or play around too much with your keywords, because if you do it too much and have bad keywords with not enough click-through ratio, then they're going to start charging you to reactivate it. So I don't like that business strategy.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty scary.
Yeah. Second of all, I used keywords like hacking magazine, hacking radio, freaking radio, etc., etc. I also used other words like security magazine, for example, and things like that. Well, I noticed after 2 days that I was getting a few impressions and a couple of clicks. It didn't generate very many clicks, frankly, and probably because they kept taking me offline so much. But I noticed that I was getting, 100 or more impressions for security magazine and one or two clicks, but I still was sitting at zero for hacking magazine. And I found that hard to believe. So I kept watching and kept watching, and eventually I realized that they didn't come out and ban the word or anything like that. It still shows active like it's supposed to be working, but it wasn't. And if I went to Google and tried to search to see if it would come up, it didn't. Obviously, behind the scenes, their engine doesn't allow those keywords. So if you do a search for hacking, I'm going out on a limb and guessing this, I don't think you'd find anything under the sponsored links on the right-hand side, other than maybe eBay and Amazon. Apparently, they can get away with fucking murder because they throw some coin at Google. eBay will show up as a result of almost anything you search for. It's ridiculous. And they can get away with it, but I can't. Anyway, you go through this, and my ad itself said Binary Revolution Magazine, Hacking, Freaking, Urban Exploration Magazine. I don't remember what it said. After about 5 or 6 days, I got an email from Google saying they shut my account down because I violated their terms of service, for lack of a better word, because I was promoting, quote, hacking and cracking sites. Well, yeah, I guess I kind of am, but not the cracking part so much. Kind of starting to run long on the show, so I'll shorten this up a little bit. The long story short is I went back and forth with them through several emails, talking to a brick wall, basically, trying to explain to them that I'm not a hacking and cracking site. I'm a hacking site. If you're going to go with this old, decrepit word of cracking, which I still don't like that word, if you're going to use it, that doesn't define what we're about and what the show, site is about and what the show is about. So I emailed back and forth and tried to explain to them. I gave them quotes from the site. I gave them samples from the magazine, stuff like that, to try to convince them otherwise. No go. They weren't having any of it. So technically right now my advertising campaign is shut down. But not exactly. Because I'm not going out like a punk bitch. All that did is piss me off, and now I have to start digging into the AdWords program, and I found some nice, fun little loopholes. I found some ways to get back into the system. I found some ways around their limits. And I'm going to type it up into a nice little article. I'm going to share it for the world to see, because Google doesn't want to have any common sense and be open-minded and listen. And on one hand, I think to myself, I wouldn't expect any different from them. I mean, would you really expect them to allow a hacking and cracking site?
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah, it's in their terms of service. I know that up front. Technically, I don't have any right to bitch or complain. I knew the rules up front. And I'm not complaining. I'm just offended. That's all. I'm just offended. It's so funny, too. So I sent them some links to, like, the Wikipedia definition of what a hacker is. And the jargon file, and quotes from famous people properly defining what a hacker is, and Linus Torvalds is an example, and things like that. I even sent them, if you do a define colon, which Google has a dictionary, if you do a define colon and then a word in Google, you'll get a definition. I gave them the Google define hacker, and the Google define of hacker is innocent curiosity, person who pushes, and they wouldn't even take that. I'm like, you hypocrites, you don't even define it properly. You do define it properly, but then you don't define it properly in your terms of service. That's so hypocritical. Anyway, yeah, I don't really have any right to complain because that's their rules, that's the way they run it. Well, like I said earlier, that's why it's time for me to start looking around for another search engine. And I can't believe I'm saying that because I've been a big Google supporter for a long time. But the times, they are a-changing. At least for me. So look forward to an article sometime in the future when I get around to it of hacking Google AdWords. And some interesting stuff that you can do with it. Not only some loopholes and how to stay in the system until they forcibly get rid of me. I'm sure they can finally do that. But I also found just a really fun little trick that you can do to get in there. And anybody, this will work for anybody and everybody that wants to create an account. So keep your eye out for that article. It's going to be very cool stuff. And I guess we should go ahead and wrap it up so I can mix in music and stuff. We're at about an hour and 15, almost an hour and 20 minutes. And Icon, geez, I talked the whole show. I don't think I let you get much of a word in edgewise.
A little bit.
All right, well, we'll have to have you come on and talk about it. As a matter of fact, that other project we hinted at, when you get some material ready for that, we'll come on and we'll have you do the show, and I'll stand back and do the listening.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll put that on the things to do list. All right, here, as I close out, let me just give a reminder again. I mentioned it up top, but Interzone 4 this weekend in Atlanta, Georgia. It doesn't matter if you bought tickets ahead of time. They don't do pre-sales or anything like that. You just show up and pay at the door. So if you're one of those people that waits to the last minute or you have to because you don't know your work schedule or whatever, you can do that. That's not a problem. Just show up. And we will be having, finally, some Ben Rev t-shirts. We'll have Binary Revolution t-shirts and some stickers. I will have them there at the conference, and anything that's left, if anything's left, will be put up on the website. And we'll reorder more, I think, if we need them. And that's it for this week. Icon, I am going to speak very slowly and give you a couple seconds to think about your shouts before I put you on the spot. If you have any shouts for anybody in the world, now would be the time to do them. How was that?
Oh, that works. Well, I'll start off giving a shout-out to Natus in Gray Area, Decoder, Duel. I haven't talked to Duel in God knows how long. The rest of the crew, the DDP, Telco Insiders, and anybody else that remembers me.
Yeah, and actually, I'll give shouts to Duel, too. Duel is not feeling too well right now. Shouts to him. If you listen to this, Duel, get better. And I've got quite a few shouts myself, actually. DC404 to the 404 meeting up there in Atlanta. Shouts to Jogga. Acidus, Decius, Rattle, Virgil, Strick, all of the guys up there, all of Yak.net, a bunch of those guys I met at Freaknik, I met at Hope, really great guys up there, the rest of the ATL crew up in Atlanta. Shouts to all them, and I'm going to be trying to squeeze in as many visits to a bunch of my friends up there over 3 days that I'm there. Actually, I guess really two. I come in Friday night, Saturday night, I leave Sunday evening, so 2 days I'll basically have, so try to hang out with as many people as I can while I'm up there. If you have any feedback for us on anything we've talked about on the show, you can email us at radio@binrev.com, BINREV.com. And again, because someone asked for it earlier, some jazz, I'm going to go back to the South Street Band again. And this song is called Sometimes I Feel Happy. Sometimes I feel happy. Do you feel happy?
Yeah.
Happy's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, no
doubt. Little happy clouds and happy trees. What was the name of that guy that used to paint the happy clouds and stuff on PBS? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man. The one that's on Real Late at Night.
Yeah, and he has a big afro, white dude. Oh, what is his? I can't think of his name. Somebody email me that. That's going to kill me. You know who? Pixel Fiend will know that one. Somebody email me that guy. He was so awesome. He was so awesome, and I think he actually passed on. It's been a long time, but oh man, that's a bummer of a note to end the show on. Somebody dying, that's not cool. All right, well anyway, South Street Band. Hopefully they'll make you feel happy. Sometimes I Feel Happy is the track. So Icon, thank you for being on the show, and yes, we'll definitely get you on for that other stuff and have you talk more instead of me running my mouth. My throat is actually killing me from talking too damn much. So look forward to having you on the show again. And this is a time when we tell the listeners that we will see them next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends upon you. I never mind the rains from the skies, as long as I can find the sunshine in your eyes. Some Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when I hate you, it's just because I love you. That's how I am.